The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, Ireland will take on the EU presidency in 2026, but with a huge operation expected, how is it being prepared for? The government has announced a new 400 million equity programme to deliver new homes. Will that work? And according to Minister Derek Leary, there must be rigorous new vetting measures for the next presidential election. We're joined now by the Journal's political editor, Christina Finn. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
A busy year ahead. Housing will remain a problem and all the other hardy annuals that have become part of the political scene. But the new thing on the block will be preparing for the EU presidency with all the security that that involves.
Very much so. So Ireland will take on the presidency between the 1st of July and the 31st of December of next year. And that will involve a host of various formal and informal meetings of different council bodies, basically, throughout that period. So I was speaking to the Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence, Thomas Byrne, last week, just about the preparations that were happening around such a large-scale event of that kind. And he was very much talking about this being sort of a showcase in one way for Ireland Inc., as he put it. And specifically, I asked him about the hotels issue, which we've seen come to the fore whenever Ireland hosts any big event, such as, the NFL games or any big concert that's sold out. And there's often headlines in the news about hotels and the prices skyrocketing. And his message very much was, we should never be taking for granted, I suppose, the image of Ireland, the popularity of Ireland in terms of a tourism perspective. And, this is such a huge event. He said it was going to be the biggest event of its type, really, in Ireland, with hundreds of journalists and delegations, perhaps up to 5,000 people for that European political community event. And really, the message shouldn't be getting out there throughout that summer period that Ireland isn't good value for money, that these people will be coming over and experiencing Ireland, and they don't want the message, I suppose, going back that, it's too expensive to come here from a tourism perspective or from a business one as well.
Now, the politicians themselves and their entourages of civil servants coming from all over Europe, they have known forever, really, that this is going to happen, that from July of 2026 that Dublin would be hosting all of the events of the EU presidency. So therefore, you'd expect them to have forward booked their accommodation. You would expect that. I mean, it's probably widely known that there is, during peak summer months, there is a shortage of accommodation in Ireland. So you'd expect them to do that. It'll be the unexpected people, maybe journalists booking late, other people who want to come in to lobby, and they find that the prices have been ratcheted up. Is Thomas Byrne appealing to the good nature of hoteliers? Is that what it is? Because that's a bit naive, to be quite honest.
I suppose he's not the first minister to come out and sort of put a warning out to hoteliers. Peter Burke said something similar throughout the year, particularly for hotels in Dublin around the inflation of prices where large events were being held in the capital. So Thomas Byrne is by no means the first minister to come out and kind of put a warning shot out there that, look, this is an event that's going to be huge from a tourism industry perspective, aside from just the political events there. And while you'd hope that, I suppose, there's pre-booking and large bookings put in already, it is going to be those, as you said, hundreds of journalists that will be coming, the extra delegations. It's not just political leaders, it's the huge teams that surround, the civil servants as well, having lots of meetings kind of on the sidelines. So it's going to be a huge event. On that issue alone, he said that, people should expect the disruption. I suppose we had a lot of mutterings from some politicians when the Ukrainian president came over for his visit, that they were unhappy, I suppose, with the level of security around that and preventing them from doing their business. But this is going to be, a huge event taking place, not just in the capital. He pointed to 250 events in Dublin alone, but a quarter of the events for the EU presidency are going to actually be held outside Dublin. So there is an attempt from the government to try and spread, I suppose, that spend, that big spend around the country and not just have it solely in the capital, yeah. but it will bring disruption.
Now, given the designs that Russia appears to have on Zelensky's, not just his political life, but his very life, it would appear, the level of security mounted for President Zelensky was perhaps understandable. But there will be other people, if not perhaps involved in wars, but people who are very high profile politically who will be coming in. So they will expect the same level of personal security to be available to them. Now, Dublin City, even at the moment, without a distinguished visitor, is a broken city. I mean, the traffic is at a standstill. We are one of the slowest cities to get through in all of Europe at peak times. So what really they're saying to us is that the city will be completely clogged for about 6 months.
Yeah, I think that's a real concern, and you would hope that the preparations are underway to try and, I don't know, have some sort of operation free flow. We've seen those sort of things written around Christmas and large-scale events, but I think anybody that's been stuck on the M50 or in traffic, particularly this month, probably won't be holding out hope that this is going to be a smooth operation by any means in terms of allowing free movement around the city, as you mentioned, with such key leaders, EU leaders, key figures there that are going to have a huge entourage of their own security. You're going to have, I think, thousands of guards on overtime and, you know, having to be moved around the country, road closures. You know, we also had, when you're talking about a security perspective, Thomas Byrne was speaking about the huge level of preparation that was going into that, but also mentioned that, you know, other countries that held the presidency, like Denmark, also experienced issues when the EU leaders met in that country, and also had, like, the country's airport closing for a time due to drone incursions, which we saw during the Zelensky visit. So knock-on impacts, perhaps, even at our airports, not just our roads and public transport in and around this period.
Now, the extraordinary thing, I suppose, about this country, probably uniquely now in Europe, given that the UK has left the European Union, uniquely we have an unarmed police force. Now, we do have armed units and so on, but they would not be sufficient in number, I think, to protect every delegation with an armed guard of force. So that is, I suppose, a point of vulnerability. You know, you've got armed guards. Maybe they now have tasers, and maybe they have some pepper spray and a nightstick or a baton. But, you know, that's not serious deterrence for anyone who wants to do someone harm.
I suppose the arming of the Irish police force has been a long-standing debate for many, many years about whether it's right and proper to have you know, Gardaí around the streets with guns. We obviously do have, you know, the special armed unit, which are specialised and trained for events like this. I suspect you will have a huge presence of the defence forces as well in and around the planning and security arrangements during this period. So the message going out is that the security arrangements are already well underway for this. Yes, we have seen, you know, the bolstering of Gardaí in terms of, you know, tasers and all the rest. But as you said, is that going to be enough? I suspect there's going to have to be a lot of, you know, working together as teams as part of, you know, the armed defence forces, as well as the Gardaí and the armed units that they have within their midst there.
Now, the question of the Ukraine entering the EU, they have aspired to membership and there is a welcome on the map, but they have to go through the full rigour of the application process. Is that likely to come into focus during our presidency?
I think so. It was something that the Taoiseach actually mentioned at his press conference, you know, with Zelensky. It seems to be something that Ireland is pushing very much so at a European level, and the Taoiseach was speaking about how this would be, you know, one of the key talking points in and around that period where we hold the presidency. Look, I think there's still some way for them to go. Minister Thomas Byrne was saying that Ireland was actually helping and giving practical advice. They were giving assistance in preparing Ukrainian, you know, officials and civil servants around the requirements that are needed for EU membership. Obviously, there's lots of, you know, things that have to be met before anybody is given that EU membership. But he was saying that, you know, this was something that Zelensky actually even mentioned the minute he got off the plane when he landed in Ireland. So and it's something that's still being discussed now. So I think Ireland is being seen as one of the key voices in those European discussions and is aiding and assisting in any way it can in terms of getting those boxes ticked for succession into EU membership.
Now, every other day we seem to get announcements about housing, and there's been an announcement of an extension to the Housing Investment Fund. There is going to be an extra couple of hundred million thrown in that direction. But the question is, how will that, if you do sums and say you get four houses for a million, if you were to build social housing, for example, which would be totally funded by local authorities, which in turn would be funded by government, four for a million. So if you've got 100 million, you've got 400 houses. Do you know?
Yeah. So,
like the money we're talking about, they've got to make that money work in the sense that, you know, it's got to be money that is put into housing, then people borrow money to buy that housing or whatever, and the money comes back into the fund so it can be used again and again and again. I'm not sure that that is the mechanism.
Yeah, I think when people hear such the large inflated figures of, you know, 600 million euro investment is going to deliver X amount of homes, I think it says 5,000 new homes, you know, it's speaking, I suppose, it can get lost, I think, in translation, because at this point, I think a lot of people have lost all hope at this housing crisis being solved. And really, it's about delivery on the ground now rather than, I suppose, these large announcements of extensions to fundings. But look, if it is come to fruition and it does look like the commitment is there for, I think, 2.5 billion euro out to 2030 to deliver about 25,000 homes under this equity funding scheme, one would hope, obviously, that that will come about. I think the interesting part here is the 200 million that is being backed in by the banks, which the government seem to be welcoming. They've been talking a long time about the need for the banks to step up here for, you know, additional loans, even for small builders and all the rest, to get involved rather than just having the key players at work at the moment. So I think that's an interesting aspect of it, perhaps something to be built on. But yeah, I think, you know, when you're talking about such large inflated figures, it's hard, I think, to cut through to people that are, you know, struggling at the moment to try and get their foot on that property ladder, or people that are stuck in, you know, the broken rental sector.
And finally, I should ask you about Micheál Martin's future after the publication of that Jim Gavin report. And it's Christmas, the report is out. Will it be forgotten by mid-January, or will it come back to haunt Micheál Martin? What do you think?
Yeah, it was very much still being talked about. You could see in the newspapers over the weekend, sort of the post-mortem of that report, an internal report from Fianna Fáil. You know, some people were saying to me, look, it's kind of a genius move to leave it to the last week before Christmas. Who's going to be planning any sort of heave or wanting to wield a knife for the leadership a couple of days at a Christmas? But there does seem to be that overhang, I think, going into the new year, that perhaps Micheál Martin is on borrowed time. We had, you know, an interview with Dara Cleary yesterday in the Sunday Times, where he was asked about the leadership, you know, would he be interested? And he's kind of one of the latest ministers as such to be asked about this, and kind of sidestepping the question in a way, not giving direct answer that, look, not saying they're not interested, but saying, you know, I don't wake up thinking about the leadership. But that's not a no, I think most people will be saying. And I would wonder, as we go into 2026, whether we'll start to see more of that talk around, you know, the succession plan for Micheál Martin. He has been leader for, you know, 14 years now. You know, it's a long time to be party leader. So I think it's natural within the party for them to be looking down the path about what is next. Mm. I'm not sure Micheál Martin will agree with that or would welcome that sort of focus on him in the new year. But look, I think over the Christmas break, perhaps he'll be getting his ducks in a row once they get back towards the end of January. And I don't think it's going away quite so soon.
All right, Christina, thank you very much for joining us. And that is Christina Finn, who is the political editor with the journal.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.